and welcome to episode 54 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Thursday, and it's May 25th.
Yeah, and it's getting towards the pointy end of the semester.
It is.
We've been extremely busy and crazy and not reading a whole lot, so.
Which is what I think we say every time.
I know, well, this year we have been, because it's just been like one thing after another.
It's been insane. But anyway,
we've barely even seen each other for like over a month. So
I know.
So pause your recording, go and get a cup of tea and settle down and have a catch up with us.
Yes.
We are actually going to do a review today. We've both been reading A Court of Wings and Ruin. Sarah J.
Read
Maas.
It. Woo. Yes.
I just finished this Past morning.
Tense. You're the editor. You said reading. We've read.
We've been reading.
Okay.
Okay, right. Whatever. So we're finished. I finished this morning's, and you've been
finished
for
a while ago,
which so
is a complete role reversal.
I know. So anyway, we're going to review that later, and we'll be spoilery. So we're going to talk about other stuff first, and then we will do the review.
Sounds good.
So if you like listening to us rabbiting on about books, please go and leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called at the moment. And leave us some stars and a review. That would be so lovely. Thank you very much. Okay, so before we talk about what we're reading, we'll say that coming up this Monday, hopefully this podcast will be out by then, but in Brisbane is the Penguin Teen event for this. We haven't had one of them here for a while.
No.
I don't know if they've had them in other states, but
we haven't had one since Felicity wrapped up. I think she was just about to wrap up.
And you know who's doing this week's one?
No.
Rihanna from ABC Radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw
in
her
conjunction with
recently.
Penguin Teen.
She's emceeing it basically.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So yeah, that's exciting. And that's on Monday at Brisbane Square Library. So I'm hoping to be going to that, so I might see a few people there maybe.
Are they still Penguin Teen or are they Penguin Harper Teen now, or merge them together?
Not officially, I'm pretty sure that their website, well, their Facebook group is still Penguin Teen.
Yep.
Anywho, I went to the launch of Drakora.
You did.
Lynette Noni's book,
which
third
I will
book
one
in
day,
her series.
I will one day read them now that the series is finished.
No,
it's
not
time.
Finished.
Oh no. Okay.
I thought I got halfway through Drakora, really thinking that this was going to be the end of a trilogy, and I'm like,
trilogy?
Gee, they've got you know, this is not really wrapping up a whole lot.
Okay.
Like she's got a lot to do in this time. And no, there's like going to be like six or seven books.
Oh,
well, maybe not that many. Maybe five. I can't remember what she said exactly, but more.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's just getting better and better as the series goes
on.
I know I wasn't going to talk about what we're reading until later, but I'll talk about it now. in this one, it's got dragons, and anything that's got dragons in it is automatically awesome. So, you know.
Game of Thrones trailer. We just watched it. Sorry.
Oh my God.
I'll talk about the
launch first. So it was at one of the schools in Brisbane. Let me remember the name. Mount Alvernia College.
Where
in
is
Kedron.
That? Oh, that's not too far away.
It wasn't too far away, but halfway
to the coast.
No. It was in Brisbane. But yep. This beautiful school. Like,
it's a private school, right?
Yeah. And they've got this gorgeous rose garden out the front, and like everything looks kind of like Tuscan kind of stone.
So,
it's just gorgeous.
Does she live near there, or is
she
affiliated
lives,
with that school, or
no,
she just likes that school?
Well, what happened was I'm trying to remember the story. She went there for an event last year or something, and then they're part of the Read Like a Girl campaign, which is run by Riverside Books, and they said to her, look, if you ever want to have a book launch, you can come and do it here. She went, yes.
Okay.
And so we were in the school library. And it was gorgeous, and they had all these beautiful decorations. I'm going to put when I put
school?
My
is that what you're saying? We got gypped at public school.
Yeah, well, is that a surprise?
No.
But yeah, it was a really nice evening, and she, you know, talked about writing the book and stuff, and it was really good. So congratulations, Lynette. And I recommend that series. The first book's called Akane, and it's I think the whole series is like the Midoran Chronicles, but.
Yep.
There's three books now, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be five. So
awesome. I have time. I am going to
get on
to it. I've got that first book beautifully signed with a gorgeous bookmark in it.
That's right, yeah. She did give us some bookmarks.
Yes. And I do want to read it.
Yeah.
It's
worth it.
Once the textbooks are put down.
Yeah, God. You should see my to-read pile. It's like to the ceiling. Anyway, I've only got a week to go. I don't know about you.
You've got
a few more weeks.
I've got exams. That's the problem.
Anyway, we want to talk about Game of Thrones. So the trailer was released today, the one of the other
official
trailers.
It's the official HBO trailer, apparently.
Right, yes.
Don't ask me what the other things were, if that's not...
Well, they were just tiny little teasers, weren't they?
Was still a teaser. It's only a minute and a half.
Right, okay. But it feels more like an actual trailer of what's coming, right?
They just wanted to show off the beautiful dragons.
Yes, they look so awesome.
They did look pretty
awesome. They're huge.
There's nothing of the, creepy things above to the north, which I was expecting
White Walkers and that.
Yeah, it has to have, but I can't remember these things.
There was people fighting in the snow, though.
Well, it's more about, I guess this season's going to be about them all amalgamating and working out the power players and killing off people. And then the last part will be the leftover stragglers, whoever's left, whoever's standing, surviving... Or not surviving.
Yeah.
That would be a very depressing ending if everyone just became White Walkers.
Isn't that what we said last time?
That's like a zombie movie.
Last year it was like, it'll be like the women standing over all the dead men. Because the women are in power. But anyway, it's not on until the 16th of July, this new season. So we've got a bit of a wait.
It's still going to be Jon Snow and...
Daenerys.
Hooking up and making beautiful ice and fire babies.
Yep.
Songs of
we'll
ice and fire, man.
We'll have to have another speculation episode.
Oh. I need to rewatch season 6. I've got the DVDs. I get them every year for my birthday.
Maybe we should just have
it's
a binge
standard,
day.
Come my over standard and we'll just present. I get the DVDs because they come out the week before my birthday.
Do they
have
special features and stuff?
Probably.
On that? Oh, okay.
I haven't even opened this one. I'm like, I'll do that closer because normally we get to watch it. We re-watch it and then we go straight into, because the seasons have been in April previously, the end of April.
Yeah.
And my birthday is at the beginning of April. So we get that couple of weeks, jam them in, and then we start. But we had months, so I wasn't going to rush.
Yeah, okay. It's not like you've got any time to watch TV at the moment.
No, I don't. Couple more weeks.
Oh, the last season, the last two episodes were the awesome ones. There was the Battle of the Bastards. And then the final episode with Daenerys.
I remember there being a few good episodes in that season, but I can't really think.
Yeah, there were.
Everyone liked
were the
Hold the Door.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't actually a big fan of that moment. I didn't get all heart strung up about
it.
Everybody
as soon
else
as I realised
did.
What was going on, I was just like,
yeah. No. I didn't get that hung up on it. But it was still a good episode, but I didn't find that part emotionally
heartbreaking
driving.
Okay.
No. Anyway.
Well, you were on your
I'm
own.
I'm alone. I'll probably be castrated for saying that. Anyway.
Okay, while we're talking about watching stuff, I went to see the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen
I haven't seen
any of them.
Any of them.
You have to see them.
I have a partner who is incredibly anti the entire...
Oh, really?
The entire Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers.
Oh, that's
so are they
sad.
All those? I think it's the Avengers.
Marvel.
Yeah, basically, he doesn't like those movies and doesn't want to bar them. And I'm like, you horrible snob.
That's really sad.
I know.
Because I don't know anything about the comics.
But all the Avengers and stuff are meant to be amazing.
Yeah. Some of them are better than others, but...
I'm so behind. I couldn't even tell you what any of them are or what order any of them were in.
No, there's so many of them now. But I watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie not knowing what to expect.
This has got
the
cute
little
tree thing that everybody keeps showing.
Yeah,
Groot.
That's Groot.
And
yeah.
I'm like, Druid.
Yes.
Every time I see
it. He's such a druid. I'm like watching him. He's waving his arms around. I'm like, it's just like casting spells. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be really lame. And it was so funny. I just loved it. And the second one is just really, really well done.
Okay.
It's very clever.
I will never see it. But okay. Maybe if it ever
and
came
it's
on
got
Netflix.
Like, yeah, it may. Some of them are, I think. You know how in some movies you just know that they're computer generated? Like you look at them and go, oh, that looks really fake kind of thing.
Yes.
But this one, just total
was amazing.
Immersion. It was like, we didn't even see it in 3D, which is usually when you get that. But it was great. I loved it. So anyway, go see that.
Okay.
What have you been reading?
What have I been reading? Well, textbooks. There's textbooks, definitely. I reread A Court of Thorns and Roses and A Court of Mist and Fury before reading A Court of Wings and Ruin.
Yes.
And I'm glad I did. I mean, I skimmed a little bit because I was a bit rushed for time, but they were great. My second book was even better, I think, second time around.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything about A Court of Wings and Ruin yet. We'll talk about that a bit later.
Yep.
And then other than that and the textbooks, I have been attempting to listen on audiobook for about, I don't know, a good 45 days now. An Empress of a Thousand Skies. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the book. I'm just so flat out exhausted that I put it on before bed and I set the sleep time of 15 minutes and I don't remember what happens in that 15 minutes. And I certainly don't have it turn off before I fall asleep. Yeah. So I'm kind of just... Who is it by? I do know this. Rhoda Bellezza.
Oh, okay.
So an Empress of a Thousand Skies, Rhoda Bellezza. It's not that the book is bad. It's just I'm thoroughly exhausted. And I've probably missed fairly important parts.
And you're not listening to it in the car because you're listening to something else.
Yes. Yes, I have become thoroughly and utterly addicted to Hamilton the musical. Not that I have ever seen Hamilton the musical live, and I predict that I won't be seeing it till about 2019, 2020, by the time it comes out in Australia. No, they are coming here. Oh, we're apparently after London, but London has already got the first 6 months sold out.
Yeah, we might have to go to like the Opera House to see it because it won't come here. Brisbane.
Oh, I'm going wherever it goes. And I'm buying multiple tickets to this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so addicted to this musical. The first listen through, I was like, oh, I don't really know who's singing what. This is a bit confusing.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued and I started Wikipedia-ing things to try and actually get a gist on what the hell was happening in history. Because in Australia, you don't learn anything about American history. It's all British
colonial-based
history, basically. So, yeah, totally new.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting. And then by the time I'd finished listening to it the second time round, I was crying fat, ugly tears of sadness going,
oh my God.
How am I so impacted by a soundtrack? I can't believe this. So anyway, I think I'm on about the 17th or 18th listen through of this soundtrack now.
Have you been keeping count?
No, but apparently you can tell on Apple Music. I haven't gone in to see. Look, I had to do a lot of long drives out for a midwifery client that I had to go to see for uni, and she's a good hour away, so I was doing good listen throughs a lot. It's very addictive. I've scoured the internet and watched basically anything I can get my hands on now by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I'm a bit obsessed with him,
mm-hmm.
who also wrote the Moana soundtrack.
Yes, which I
for anyone that absolutely
my children
loves that
are addicted to.
And so are my children. It's a good soundtrack.
He is a genius. Well, you've spent most of this evening trying to convince me to listen to Hamilton. So
can
I'm
you
gonna
see
have
the
to do that.
The fervor in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get you to watch stuff all the time.
So let's just put it into perspective. Hamilton's only 2.5 hours. How many hours of Supernatural am I having to catch up on?
Yeah. Well, the other problem is it's not on Netflix anymore. So it's
Did they take it off?
Yeah,
Netflix?
It's been taken off. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Why does Netflix do that to us? Yeah, I actually love Netflix, but they are horrible.
They take things off.
When they put Peppa Pig on, and you have a child obsessed with Peppa Pig, and then in less than a month they take it back off. I don't know if Evie is obsessed with Peppa Pig, but Maddie loves a good Peppa episode.
Yeah, she enjoys it, but she's not like needing to watch it all the time.
Well, Maddie normally only gets to watch it on YouTube, and then it was on Netflix, and she got to watch it on the big TV, and then after 3 weeks. 3 weeks, that was all we got. It got taken back off.
Oh, that's a short time.
And then she kept asking for it on the TV, and I have to say no. Anyway,
there are other
things. Netflix.
I haven't watched anything on Netflix for a while, actually, now.
I watched the new Sense8. I don't know if you ever watched that.
No.
There's a lot of people very addicted to that show. I can't get into it the way a lot of other people get into it.
Oh.
It's a bit full on. I could imagine it's incredibly expensive to film. Probably why it took 2.5 years.
It's like a time travel thing?
No, they're all connected. It's like 8 people sense, and then it's the number 8 because 8 people can, like, mind walk into each other's
bodies and they're all connected.
So it's like schizophrenia type thing?
No, it's like a science. It's like a, I don't know, they're like a, they're all, they were all born at the same moment and they've got this connection. But there's lots of these families of eight. I can't remember. I think in the first season it actually explained what the magic of the number eight was.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But this all big government conspiracy. I don't know. It was good.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was worth 2.5 year wait. I know there were a lot of very excited people.
Oh, so this is the second season. Okay.
Yeah. Stranger Things was better, I think. It was a tighter, okay. It was a tighter story. This is a bit more out there. But it's interesting because, it's very culturally diverse. Lots of weird sex scenes. I'll just put it out there. I don't know. Well, they're all in each other's mind. And I'm just like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see where that
is. Yeah. It's just all a bit odd. All a bit odd. They don't seem bothered by it. That's the thing that I think I find the most bizarre.
Okay.
Anyway.
They're just all right with, okay.
Lots of writhing bodies. And I'm like, is this really necessary? Don't call Game of Thrones gratuitous, man. Anyway. Okay. Yes.
I only have time to watch Supernatural and Doctor Who at the moment. Just,
is that not enough?
One episode of each a week. That's all I can handle. And then I have to write reviews for them for Gigamob. So it's like, okay. Brain can't cope with any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am really enjoying the new series of Doctor Who. It's really good this time around.
Awesome.
So one of these days you can watch.
This is again another show that I've got.
There's a lot of catching up on.
I will watch. Look, I only just caught up on Homeland, which I watched years ago.
Yeah, that's been away.
Loved
for a while.
It. And then I was like, oh, I think I'm up to season 5. Didn't realise then I actually not ever watched season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I rewatched season 4 and 5 and I was like, God, this is a great show. I forgot how good this was. Anyway.
All right. Well, I better talk about what I'm reading. Yes. Okay. So I read Draycora. I mentioned that already. And Court of Wings and Ruin, I've been reading it for like 3 weeks.
What is going on?
It's like nearly 700 pages and I just didn't go. I read it on the train, which was like the only time I had to read. So I was reading in snippets of like,
I binge read
30
it.
Minutes at a time.
So it's like me with Empress of a Thousand Skies, except I was falling asleep. You were on the train.
Maybe we should talk about this later, but
maybe we should.
I won't talk about it now. So I'm currently not reading anything yet, but I'm listening on audio to City of Heavenly Fire by Cassandra Clare, which is the 6th book.
Yep.
In that Mortal Instruments, they're all called Mortal Instruments altogether, aren't they?
I have no idea. I gave up. But I read them before I had children. This is how long ago. I can't read them again. It's been too long.
It's been a while since I read the 5th one, so I was having trouble working out. But also the thing with this audiobook is it's so long. It's like 60 chapters or something. I don't know how many hours it is.
They make Court of Wings and Ruin look small, surely.
Well, it's...
Or is it similar size?
I'm only like a third of the way through it and I'm sort of losing track of what's going on in the story. So I think I'm just going to have to read it in a book format at some point.
Okay.
Anyway, the audio itself is pretty good. Like there's a girl who reads the sort of
female voices,
female point of view chapters. So it's not like the voices. It's like if it's Clara's point of view, then it's the woman doing it. And if it's like Simon's point of view, then it's the guy doing
it. If it's Jace's point of view, it's the guy doing it too.
So they both do all the voices but alternate kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was good. The weird thing about that is, Mitch, this is weird. It's not that weird. The guy is English and the girl doing it is American. So it's really
It
kind of feels weird when they switch and I'm like, oh, this guy sounds weird. But
then if they do that purposefully or not.
Well, I don't know, just the voice actor happened to be English, but it was just,
yeah, but I wonder if they did audio.
He still does like American accents for the characters. But when he's narrating, he's just speaking in an English accent. This just struck me as weird. Anyway, I don't mind. It's not a problem. So I've got to read this next. I'm going to read something light and small. So this Wires and Nerve by Marissa Meyer is a graphic novel.
Yep.
It's not going to take me long to get through because I'm just going to
I saw it in
blow
the shops,
through it.
Actually, I was like, oh, this looks really nice.
It's a beautiful book, I'll give that a crack. But I also then have Assassin's Fate by Robin Hobb.
That'll be a big thickie.
A brick.
Yep.
And I can't wait to get into that because it's the closing of the trilogy.
Yep.
And it's going to be awesome.
Oh, I should have said, I'm actually also audiobook listening to Lifeblood. But I was taking too long to listen to it and I lost my audiobook. on overdrive, and then I had to go back on hold, and I've only just got it again. So it's, okay. Yeah, I've had a 2-month break or something.
Maybe you'll have more luck with that than Empress of a Thousand
Maybe.
Skies.
I've got to work out where I'm up to in that too. I was like, oh, it's been 6 weeks or something now.
And oh, God, yeah.
Because I think I was listening to that last time.
Yes, I think you're right. Anyway, all right. Okay.
That's all right.
Well, shall we talk about A Court of Wings and Ruin then?
Yes, let's talk about it. It's been actually a while now since I read it.
Well, it came out on the 2nd of May. So you probably got it. I bought it that first week.
I don't know if I started it immediately because I was finishing off Mist and Fury because I read them all.
Yeah.
So
okay,
I can't
yeah.
tell you when I actually think you started it before me.
Well, I think I started it a week after it came out, basically.
Yeah, and I probably.
Oh, okay. Well, you just
started
read it.
Started it, but I binge read it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Because it's great procrastinating from assignment work and studying.
Yep. So, okay, yeah. It's by Sarah J. Maas. We probably should say that. And it's published by Bloomsbury.
Anyone
all over the world.
Anyone that's listened to our podcast surely knows.
You know how much we love this series. Well, we had a mixed opinion of the first book in the series.
Yes.
And then we both loved the second one, Court of Mist and Fury. And
sounds like we're having a mixed opinion on this one.
Perhaps. Would you like to read the blurb? Or
sure. Feyre has returned to the Spring Court, determined to gather information on Tamlin's manoeuvring and the invading king threatening to bring Prithian to its knees. But to do so, she must play a deadly game of deceit, and one slip may spell her doom, not only for Feyre, but for her world as well. As war bears down upon them all, Feyre must decide who to trust amongst the dazzling and lethal High Lords and hunt for allies in unexpected places. I'm not going to read that last bit talking about New York Times bestseller Sarah J. Maas, if that's okay.
Okay. So we should probably warn you that we are going to be talking about spoilers. So if you haven't read it, we'll just say go and read the first two books in this series and read all of them and then come back and listen.
Yes.
So spoiler alert.
Yes.
So.
Am I starting or are you starting?
Because
I'm worried about what you think
of
it now.
Let me just say first that I read Court of Mist and Fury very quickly. Mm-hmm. I binged it like you read this one. I just sat there and read it. I didn't do anything else. I just read it for a couple of days.
Yes.
This one I only read it in bits and pieces because I didn't have time to read it in the evenings. So it took me 3 weeks to read the whole thing.
Yes.
So my opinion of it may be lessened by the fact that it felt very drawn out to me. It felt too long to me.
But what could have been cut? I can't think of anything that actually could have really been cut. It needed it all. The only thing that irritated me a bit, we'll start with what we didn't like, because I loved it.
Yeah, okay.
The fact that I had just binge read, though, the first two, and then went straight into it, so it was just one continuous story probably helps, I think.
Okay.
Because I was it was fresh in my mind.
Yep.
Finished book two, started book three
straight
away.
Yeah, because it starts pretty much straight
away.
They do.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved it. The only thing that irritated me a little bit and I didn't know this, is that she's doing another trilogy in that world.
Yes.
Not
and it with was some very, of the same characters, apparently.
Yeah, and it's so clearly to me, Lucien.
Yeah,
that's
I think
going
so.
To be based on,
and the
and they
the
were setting
the Firebird
that up.
Queen, maybe.
Yes. So that story, him with is it Elise? I can't think of the
Elaine.
Sister. Elaine, that's it. Elaine, and who is which court he actually truly is heir to? Because that's left up in question.
Yeah.
So to me, there was enough red herring that's surely going to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What that is, and it kind of irritated me because they were all left a bit too. I got annoyed because I felt like she was setting up another series, but it just left stuff that could have tightened that story.
Yeah.
So if that had not been in there, if they cut that, that whole him going away and then the Firebird Queen just magically coming and saving the day.
Yeah, that was very sudden.
That was all really
she
sudden.
They Gandalfed in.
To me, could have been if she really wanted that stuff in there, it should have been a quartet and thoroughly drawn out that story and added stuff and done it over two books or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really want them to draw out the war any more than it was.
That
final scene was really awesome.
I thought that all wrapped up a bit too quickly in the end.
I
felt that
it was quick.
Everything all just fell together a bit too fast. Like, her rallying the other High Lords should have been much harder.
Yeah.
Her and Tamlin, I thought, was a bit of a...
It was a non-event, wasn't it?
It was a non-event.
It fizzled out. Like, it was obviously that he still...
She doesn't do the jilted male very well. Just reminds me of Kale. I'm sorry. Tamlin and Kale are both like these just pathetic half-shell of men at the end. Yeah. And I'm like...
Maybe we'll see Tamlin again for a bit of a rallying.
I don't know. I'll have to see how she does her Kale...
the book that's coming in September.
Because he's a bit of a, you know,
better developed than Tamlin, though.
Yes, he is. I thought
Tamlin's obviously not the main character. Like, right from the beginning of the first book, I was like, when I read the first book, I was like, Tamlin is just nothing. He's boring.
Well, this is the
He's not the main male.
But this is the funny thing, because I reread that first book again, and that's the first time I've reread it. And I was looking at it from a different perspective. And I'm like, is this really just a convenience thing? Like, I don't know. But I felt like they went through so much together. What relationship could ever withstand that anyway? Like,
yes,
they were
fucked
up over that under the mountain.
Absolutely.
And they both didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, that's right. And he got all angry about it.
I don't know, though. But I just feel that she was very harsh to him.
Yeah, I agree.
I never felt Selena or whatever we're going to call her, Aelin, I never felt that she was particularly harsh to Kale. I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But I do feel that about Farrah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who really hate Tamlin and... Like,
well, she sets it up to hate him.
Yeah,
like, when
of course,
she talks
of course,
about how
she has
when
to
she's
run
loving
to...
when everyone when there's big love fest for Reese, who I absolutely love. Do not get me wrong.
Yes,
but like when she got like when he's all worried about being the villain of the story, and she goes, "The villain of the story is normally the one that locks a girl up in the tower," and I'm like, "That's
you just
a really
told us
great
who the villain was."
That's a really great perspective, and it is a really good take on things, but. I don't think that's really fair either. I don't know.
No,
anyway,
I thought he
just after the end of the third one, I just kind of feel that.
But
I don't actually think he is a bad person.
No,
I don't
I
think
agree.
He did anything.
He did the right thing in the end.
Yes, with all their back history, I still feel that him and Reese were actually fairly equal with the good versus bad histories. Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, no, I agree. He's not a bad person.
He didn't do the wrong thing in the end. You did think at the end of book two that he was doing the wrong thing.
Because he had allied with the king
to get her back.
Yep.
But, like, you realise that he didn't actually want to ally. He just was desperate. Maybe communication could have solved a lot of issues. I don't know.
I agree. Well, communication's always the problem.
That's
in
right.
In most of these books. No, I realised this morning when I was thinking about what I didn't like about this one that there wasn't much that I didn't like about it. Like, it was the war part of it was great. Her rallying of the different, like, supernatural beings. Like,
oh, I love
that.
That
was amazing. And
I
liked when she went to get the mirror and, you know, then the guy said, oh, I didn't really need it. I just wanted you to look at it. Like,
he just needed to know that she was worthy.
Yeah, that was amazing. I love that.
And the spinner came out and stuff. Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
I think the main reason why I thought I didn't like this one as much as the second one was because the second one was an awesome romance.
It was.
And the third one was just like,
they've already
okay,
got there.
We're together now. Let's go and kill some shit. I mean, I'm going to have to bleep myself a lot in this episode.
No. And look, even the second time I read that, when I reread that second one just like a month ago, I was like, I'm still thinking, come on, just get it on, man. Just get it on.
Yeah.
Like the build up was just well done. And yes, I don't need any of that smouldering build up this time around because they're already together and they are soulmates and mates or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I guess he comes across as maybe a little weaker or something because he's bowing to her. There's a little bit of that whole power.
Yeah, no, they're just...
They get along a bit too well sometimes.
I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing to... They're just like one person. They're not characterised very differently in the third one.
No.
The other thing that I thought about the third one, which may be an unpopular opinion, is I got to the end of it and it all wrapped up very nicely, as you said.
It was a bit neat.
It was very neat and I fully expected at least one of them to die. No one died. Everyone survived. Like, I expected Cassian to die when he was being attacked by the king. And then I thought one of her sisters was going to die for sure, but it just ended up being her dad. And that was it.
But I did think, what I was really happy about, because what I was worried about at the end of the second book, was that she was pairing, like, Lucien and Elaine were, like, mates, and they realised immediately they were mates.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious that she was trying to get the Nesta and Cassian hooking up. And I was like, oh, and, Christ, I can't think of the other two people. They're...
Amarin? Moore and Asriel. No,
yeah, Moore and Asriel. I was like, oh my God, they're going to pair those guys up. They can't be that much of a love fest. That'll be too much. But she didn't do that in the end. And I really liked how the sisters didn't just go, oh, yay, we're fae. Oh, it's all okay after all of our years of hatred.
They were upset about it.
Emotionally shattered as well by it. Nesta was a difficult character to like ever. Yes.
No, that's any good. Of the books. You need someone like that, I reckon.
But she was very powerful.
Yeah.
But I liked how why she was so powerful in that part of the story. I thought how she took, because she was so angry.
Yeah.
I thought that was really done.
I liked the cauldron, like, Death Star thing, beam thing. And they were just wiped through the army.
You are right, now I think about it. Everyone that you thought was dying was all happily ever after.
Got saved at the last minute.
Like, even...
The healers just healed them up and that was it.
Or they get let back out of cauldrons or...
Yeah, they come back to life. Reese was dying, I was like, oh, this is going to be such a tragic ending. I'm going to be crying in the lunchroom at work when I'm reading it.
I knew that they were going to do the same thing that they did for Farrah. But Tamlin, I was like, is this his redemption?
Yeah. He just wanted her to be happy in the end.
Did he really? I don't know.
I don't know. It was a very neat ending.
That makes me
a bad person that I wanted someone to die.
No, but I know what you mean. It kind of felt all that sacrifice. Everyone needed to be really sacrificed. I don't know. I did find it a bit funny, considering how all the courts are apparently so scary and harsh, and there were all these histories of fighting.
Yeah.
All of them were actually pretty decent, except for the Autumn Court, which to me doesn't seem right. Because the Summer Court guy was really nice.
Even the Winter Court guy was fine.
They were all friends. They were all actually really chummy and soft. Like, none of these really scary fae that have been immortals for millions of millennia.
That's right. And I was like, the Autumn Court king was the only one who was
just a second.
Bad.
Like, I know they said that there were some new rulers, but none of them were new rulers except for the Summer Court anyway. Because you know how they said there's a lot of new power plays and, like, at the end of the first book, because so many people have been killed.
Yeah, okay.
And the end of the court, there was a lot of building and stuff to be done. But I was like, who is new? Tamlin's still there. The Autumn Court, Lucien's dad's still there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Reese already knew the other ones. And I was like, you all actually seem fairly pleasant and actually, like, you got along. And all even the when scary you stuff wasn't actually that scary.
The summer court guy appeared to be a bit nasty.
No, he was
And then
nice.
He came along and went, oh, hi, guys.
No, well, he wanted to like them. That was the thing. And it was so clear that he wanted to like them.
Yeah.
But he had to because, well, he did steal from him.
Am I thinking of somebody else?
Maybe you're thinking of somebody else.
No, the guy who slept with Moore.
No, that's one of the Solar Court. That was either the Solar Court
or...
The Sun.
Yeah, you're right.
Hellion.
So he started off being a bad guy. Well, not a bad guy, but, like, mean kind of thing.
But he's not really
mean.
And
then he just waltzed in and went, oh, hi, guys, sorry, I had to just, you know, be
pretend.
Mean.
Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know. That was a bit funny because they'd made out this entire time that the Fae were all so horrible, but actually they were all very pro-human.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So whoever agreed to be anti-human.
There was a couple of them who didn't want to go down to the humans.
Who?
But they did in the end anyway. They didn't argue
but
about
who?
It.
Who? I can't think. Was it just Tamlin's dad and Lucien's dad?
I'm just
confused.
One of the Dawn Court or one of those guys
but didn't
was like,
get
I don't want to go
with those
to
two?
Yeah, they were okay, but they weren't like chummy.
I don't know. I was just.
Anyways.
That to me was a bit. We are nitpicking, but I think.
it's just such bits and pieces. This is more flailing. It's not a review, is it? We're just flailing.
Well, this is the first time we've talked about
it. I know.
That's the problem. Often we have a mini talk about it beforehand and we're a bit more concise.
No, well, we said it was a catch-up. well,
and we are nitpicking because I really did like it. And yeah, I just felt that they were a big bunch of softies that were bad at communicating.
Yeah, that's right.
They were. I don't get why Reese felt he had to put on such an act. Like, who was he hiding anything from? They weren't that bad.
And yeah, that's right. And did they, like, most of them knew that he was a good guy. And all
the horrible people he dumped into that other court. Like, he dumped into his other night court.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So if they're all the shitheads, who cares? Like, they can go live there and everybody else can. Why keep up the
facade?
I know. It's just, anyway.
And I'm not sure we're supposed to ask these questions. We're supposed to go along with it.
I think if Sarah J. Maas ever listens, she should be going, whoa, these people were looking way too much into this.
Hey, this is nothing. You should see some people. I've been really looking at Tumblr a lot lately. I shouldn't because, oh my God. But
that's a rabbit hole on its own.
Yeah, wow, yeah.
Well, I remember when...
Some people are so analytical with their...
They are.
Their posts they and are. Stuff. Amazing.
Emma Hermione.
Emma Watson?
Not Emma Granger, which was the next name I came up with. She was like, Harry Potter fans, and that's a scary, scary bunch.
Yeah.
She goes, they pick up everything. There's nothing you can get, like, that's there's nothing right. they haven't dissected. And I'm like, oh, that's probably true.
The supernatural people on there are like... They look at every scene and they look at the colour of the walls and they look at their paintings on the walls and the scenes.
I'm not that personality type.
I'm just like, how do you notice that when I'm watching something? I'm not looking at the walls.
Neither
like,
am I. Neither am I.
It was amazing.
I can let some things go for the greater good of a story. Like, do you know what I mean? That's when I get really irritated when stories get, you know, when I'm in a book and I'm like, whoa, what? And like when that happens a lot, I'm like, this is a very disjointed story because I'm pretty good at letting stuff go. Except for the new Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, well, sorry, listen to our last episode that. If you want to hear ranting about that. Anyway, this Court of Akko War.
I gave it four stars. Oh, because I gave it five.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I loved it.
I'll probably give it 4.5 when I write a proper review. Because I did like it. I did love it. I just, there were a few things I was just like, eh.
Look, I'm not, don't lie, the second she releases this new trilogy, I'm going
to
go
yeah,
buy
absolutely.
It.
Like, yeah, she's
I'm sorry,
like
do
one
you know
of my
what we
favorites.
Didn't talk about? Lucien's dad. Seeing with spoilering and you already said Reese dies and gets brought back to life.
Yeah, we did say it was a spoiler.
That's as spoilery as you can get.
Yeah. What about Lucien's dad?
Well, I'm just like, she never mentioned it. We all know about it. And she didn't bother telling Lucien. Aren't they friends?
Oh.
I felt like Feyre was a pretty sh** friend to Lucien, to be completely honest.
Yeah. And he kind of went up to Tamlin at the end.
He
and
was
Tamlin
really
just went.
Decent. He was really decent.
Yeah, he was.
And it wasn't just for Elaine. He was always pretty decent to Feyre. Even in book one, he was decent to Feyre.
That's right. But he was
she
he
killed
was like
his friend.
Her enemy at the start of this third
she
one.
Killed his friend.
Yeah.
And he was really decent. But she didn't give him a choice. She never trusted him. He never did actually anything to not have that trust, except for hesitate for one split second in book one. When he sent her on
and
the...
And he comforted her when she was upset.
Of course,
and
he knew that things weren't well. And then him and Reese didn't just become buddies, which I thought was really sad, because I actually thought they were very similar characters, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a bit worried, actually, that he will turn too much like a Reese character when she writes another series.
Yeah, maybe. She's got to have somebody who's the hot male fae thing.
Yeah, but like you know how she's got that sort like, of witchy charm,
yeah.
And Reese's like wittiness is in Selena/Aelin in that series, so it's not so obvious because it's a male female. Like you know they're different, but I think with another male, it'll just be too Reese like. I hope she manages to give him a really separate voice. He's actually not built up enough that you could make him whatever really at the moment. I reckon he's going to sound a bit too Reese like.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really
we'll
care.
See. We'll see where it goes.
I'll still read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll
listen
read
it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, there's no worries there.
That's right. But you just so know that he's going to find out either something's going to happen to Helios and he's just going to all of a sudden inherit the powers of the Solar Court.
Is it
the Solar
works?
Court or the Dawn Court? Yes, because that's what they said. That's why all the brothers are getting all funny, because if you show a lot of power, it doesn't matter which order they're born in. Well, it normally goes to the firstborn.
Yep.
That's why Tamlin, even though he was the youngest,
Okay.
He was the most powerful, and when the father died, he got all the powers.
Right, like
they transferred over to him.
That must have been explained in the first one.
It was explained a bit in the second book, I think, and then I think it was explained. It was mentioned in the third book. They talked about the transfer of powers because see, even the older brother of the Autumn Court ended up not being such a shithead. So
yeah,
going back to that,
he was remorseful, and you know,
and he was doing things. He had his reasons. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, no one
everyone's
was a shithead in the end.
Everyone's too nice, except for the king. He was a bastard.
See, the other story that she could be doing, and this could all throw us huge, is she could be doing like a prequel story of the couple that hooked up in the Fey Wars that were off.
Oh, yeah, Miriam and...
Yeah. Because they just randomly appeared.
Yeah, they did. And they just, their felt like fully formed characters. But we didn't know them. It was like...
Well, we didn't know them, but I guess they all knew
them.
And I'm like, that could be a big prequel story. And even the dad redeemed himself.
Yeah.
See, that sort of stuff tied up a bit too well.
He wasn't happy about it, but he helped in
the end. But he remembered. He remembered, and he had been trying to get things going in the human world. Remember?
Oh, okay.
You don't remember?
No, I don't. When?
No. So when he said he went over to talk about the Fae, he had gone to the mainland to talk about... the Fae worries.
Oh,
the girl's dad.
Yeah, I found that weird because I remember thinking that Lucien had gone over there to find the queen, but he didn't find her. It was the dad that found her.
And he found them
And he
all,
found
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
No, that's, I know. And I'm like, weird. This has got to be a whole other story, surely.
Yeah,
like, that's just a precursor because that's a whole book on its own.
I don't see that she would write like a parallel story to it. Like, it does sound like there should be more to that story.
No, but we might find out more about it through Lucien's story.
Yeah. Because the Firebird Queen has to have her curse broken and...
Yeah, and Lucien's going to be part of that. And the Elaine, Lucien, they never actually hooked up.
That's right. Even though they're mates. I don't like the whole mating bond thing.
It's not Sarah J. Maas. It's just the whole Fae trope. Any other Fae books you've read, there's a whole mating...
Yeah, I don't know. It's not
for me. I don't have a problem with it, but it's a very romance.
I mean, it's okay, but
it's a very romance. If you actually read proper romance, supernatural romances, it's very much inbuilt in that lore, basically.
Yeah.
So I think because Cass used to read it, my sister was absolutely addicted to romance. I would get series, and they have a lot of that.
Okay.
Destined to be together.
Well, I had
pairing things.
Speaking of romance, we had a lecture last week from the lady who is Kate Cuthbert, I think her name is. She's like the editor at Escape Publishing, which is a imprint of Harlequin.
I'm on their mailing list.
Me too. Get emails from her now and then.
I never accept them.
No, I don't read like rural romance or any of the stuff that's
on their
list.
No, I don't like Outback romance,
which is a lot of their books. Outback Romance, the Chicks in the Hat, is the biggest seller in Big W and those discount stores.
Who buys these books?
Apparently a lot of people do. It's like
Do they sell internationally or just in Australia?
They do sell internationally. Apparently
it must be
the
baby boomer generation.
Rural romance are really big in Germany for some reason. One of the lecturers was saying that for some reason Outback sort of settings and whatever sell really, really well in Germany.
So does David Hasselhoff, so I don't know what that says.
Well, they're just strange over there. See, apologies to any Germans who are listening. but no, apparently, she's telling us about like editing romance fiction, but you've got to have a story that the romance has to be the main thing in the story.
Like,
if you took the romance out, there would be no story. That's a definition of a romance.
Yeah.
And also, it must have a happy ending.
Yes.
A book that doesn't have a happy ending will not be published as a romance.
No.
And any book that has that where there's other stuff going on and the romance is just like a side thing, like this one for instance, is not romance genre. It's some other genre with romance in it.
It's really like a supernatural romance or something like that.
Well,
but
there are subgenres within romance itself.
That's still romance genre where it's mainly about the male and the female hooking it up.
Or like, you know, homosexual relationships, whatever, as long as the romance is the main focus.
You've read too much supernatural smut.
Well, there's plenty of same-sex ones in romance. Fiction as well.
So are they allowed now? Because I'm sure Milton Boone's or whoever it is wouldn't publish them.
Oh, probably not, but other romance publishers will do that. But no, I've had all sorts of fascinating guest lecturers recently.
That's good.
Anyway, getting off topic. So anything else we want to say about this book?
Look, I loved it. Would I have loved it as much if I hadn't binge read the first two beforehand? I don't know. Mm. It was tightly wrapped up, maybe a bit too neatly.
Yes.
There was a lot of obvious setup for another trilogy, which yes. I liked and I didn't like. I liked because I'm like, oh, there's another trilogy coming. And I didn't like because I'm like, this is probably not very necessary to the current story.
Yes.
I do also feel that there's too much crossover between this series and Throat of Glass. Like the way she released the bad guys, that was such an Aelin type thing to do. She released, like, you know, the Bone Keeper and
Webweaver.
Well, at the very end of the last book, she all of a sudden got, like, all these bad assassin-type underground groups and gangs together.
Yeah.
And
no,
like,
that was from the prequel books, though.
But
you're right. They did weave it together,
thing.
Yeah.
They kind of you're both right. went to really unlikely sources.
I didn't connect that at and the time, but like, now that you say that, yeah.
It's kind of a similar plot point.
Yes.
But for all this and all that's said and done, I enjoyed reading every second of it, and yes. I loved it, and Reese was still amazing. The second book was definitely the highlight book.
The thing I noticed, which I wasn't going to mention, but I will now.
Mention it.
Doing too much. it could be worse than that. This does not involve tentacles, but in every time they went to Valaris,
yes,
there were children laughing in the streets. Are there just some children standing outside their townhouse laughing all day?
Oh, quick, Reese is coming back. Quick,
laugh. The children in the streets. Every single time they go back to that townhouse, they get, she made the comment.
I didn't think there could be a lot of children. I didn't think they had a lot of children. This is a really funny thing. I don't think the Fae had, or is it just the High Fae that don't have a lot of children?
I don't know. They must be because child. They're always if there laughing
had,
in the streets.
I have to admit, if she'd been pregnant at the end of that series, I would have probably been a bit vomiting. I don't really? Know. Yes, it would be a bit too perfect.
They did say at the end of the second one that they didn't want to bring a child into the world.
Not until right later. Now.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe in the next series.
I don't
series,
know.
Though,
I thought
she'll
maybe she was going to be pregnant. I don't know. I don't know if they're particularly great parental figures.
Not at the moment. I mean, they're getting it on every 5 minutes.
No, well, anyway. Even without the getting it on every 5 minutes, I just don't know if they're really great parent figures.
Mm.
It's not like either of them had particularly happy childhoods. It's not like they've got any good role models. Anyway.
There we have wrap it. This up. Okay.
Children laughing in the street.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have a look through the book and tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
But you haven't got a copy.
In both the books or just in
well,
the third
one?
Well,
I don't know. I just noticed it in the third one. It struck me.
You're too desperate for them to hook up and get it all on in the second book that you don't worry about that sort of stuff. The only happy place in Prithian. The Spring Court should be freaking happy. The Summer Court sounded happy until it got attacked.
Yeah, and all the children died, so there weren't any laughing there.
I live in the Summer Court. Sounded amazing. It sounded like Greece. Anyway, 5 stars for me.
Okay.
Even with my now nitpicking, now that we've talked about it, I'm sticking to 5 stars because I enjoyed it.
Good. Okay. I'm sticking with 4, but it might go up to 4.5 when I write a review.
You prefer eventually. It to the first one, though.
Yes, I do prefer it to the first one. I think I gave the first one 4 as well, so maybe I'll go up.
I think you gave it like 3.5, and then I think I got so outraged you might have cowed to 4. I don't know.
If you listen
Jean
to
from Happy Indulgence doesn't like this series.
Oh, really?
She didn't like the second book. I feel slightly horrified
I don't like
by
this
that.
Series as much as I like Throne of Glass.
I prefer this one. I think. Mm. Maybe not now that this is wrapped up, because it wrapped up a bit too neatly.
Mm.
Throne of Glass has the potential to be a bit more epic.
It does.
Possibly.
That's right. Oh, God, yeah. I can't wait till September.
When's that coming out? September. So right in the middle smack bang of probably assignment pain for next semester. How depressing.
Yep. Depressing.
I know.
All right. Let's wrap
it up.
If you want to send us feedback, suggestions, please email us, contact@teaandthetreetops.com. Or you can tweet us at teatreetops or at oakenbookcase.
You can also find the list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
And we'll see you again another time.
Wow.
Bye. Yeah. Where was the place where the palace was on top of the mountain?
More money.
In the clouds.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the Dawn?
Was that the Dawn? So was that, just a second. I can't quite remember. It's been too long. Is there a Dawn, a day, and a, is there a dusk court? Or just a Dawn, a day, and a night?
Oh, I don't remember.
And we'll why have to have is a look there at
a the map. Day and Hang a, on, I've got the map.
Why is there a Dawn and a day court?
That's better.
And who's who? Which one's Helios again?
Helios is the sun.
So we have a day court? Hang on, let me have a look. So why is there a dawn court? Isn't there just a day and a night court?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I'm getting the book out so I can find the map.
I feel like I should know this.
What's the map?
Yeah, but the winter court was lovely. And
it did sound nice.
The summer court was lovely and the spring court was a bit messed up. But could be lovely.
All right, we've got night,
which is of
day,
course the biggest.
Dawn.
That's it.
Winter, summer, autumn, spring.
There you go. I realize I
it's just
so
such
to
a
say.
Huge book, and it feels so nice when you're reading it because it's like
yeah.
smooth and the pages just fall open nicely like that.
Oh, that's good.
It's good. It's a sensory book.